Morning. Today's daf and tefachim is Kuf Tes. We're in Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. We are in the 13th parak of the Masech, the second to last Masech parak of Zvachim, and we are discussing Shchuti Chutz. I mentioned this already a number of times. Zvachim is super organized. Each parak covers a various aspect of the avoda. And so now we are focusing on the Isser and the Torah of Shchuti Chutz. One is not allowed to shecht a carbon outside of the Azara. One is not allowed to offer a carbon outside of the Azara. These are two Isurim. As we already highlighted since the beginning of the parak, these two Isurim are found in Parshas Achrimos and Parak Zayin, from Psukim Aleph through Tes. That Parsha could really be subdivided, really into three sections. But as I mentioned, the easiest way to subdivide is into two sections. The first section, Psukim Aleph through Dalad, take us through the Isur and the Torah of Shchutei Chutz. Yishach the carbon outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash, Yechayv Kareis, if you do so b'mezid. And there's a separate issue in the Torah of Hela B'chutz. Hela B'chutz, if you offer carbon, literally placing the limbs of a carbon on an area, on a mizbech that's outside of the Azara, so that too is going to incur a Kareis penalty. So there are two separate Isurim as it relates to it. There's Shchutei Chutz and there's Hela B'chutz. We discussed in the course of this parak also, there is also Zrika B'chutz, which is not clearly articulated in the Torah, but the Tanaim learned it out. How did the Tanaim learn it out? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, both have different drushas that arrive us to the conclusion of Zrika B'chutz, but that also can be included, but that's it. In other words, as far as Isur Kares is concerned, none of the other avodas are subject to an Isur Kares. We spent a considerable amount of time yesterday discussing the various parameters of Shchut Echutz, Hela B'chutz. We discussed Zrika. So a lot of kedusha rishona kishla shaita kishla lavo discussion that occurred in the course of yesterday's daf. We are in Kuf Ches Amud Aleph now, and we are going to note now before we start with this mishnah. So I'll fast forward a little bit to a Rashi that is coming up on the Amud Beis on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. But the truth of the matter is, we already learned this idea before. Generally, and I'm saying this generally, whatever is true by Shchut Echutz is also going to be true by Hela B'chutz and vice versa. We already introduced ourselves to a concept known as Erev Parshios. Erev Parshios means that the Torah co-joins the two. There's actually a Vav in the Torah connecting the Isser of Shchut Echutz and Hela B'chutz. So that means to say that whatever is true by one is true by the other. And so generally they are mirror images of one another in terms of Isurim. And that is the overarching rule. But with every rule, there's an exception, and this is no exception to that rule. Talk about a real conundrum. So but this is no exception to that rule. There are a couple of notable exceptions. So, and that's where our Mishnah picks up. Chomer b'shchita mi ba'aliyah uva'aliyah mi b'shchita. So there is a chomer, but you have by shchita that you don't have by aliyah b'chutz, and vice versa. Chomer b'shchita shashoch lehejo chayev. Now the chomer b'shchita is as follows. Let's say you shecht. And you shecht towards the man. Now, when I say towards the man, I don't literally physically mean facing the man, but in other words, on behalf of a man. Now, this is a bit of an oddity, meaning when we're talking about shechting a carbon, so the primary perspective of purpose of shechting carbon is Lashem. Okay, in other words, you go back to Memvav and you go over the kavanas that you have when you shecht the carbon. So one of the primary kavanas is it's Lashem, Reach, Nicholach, but in other words, Lashem. The carbon has to be Lashem. So the Mishnah over here talks about shechting for a person. Now, we do have another term for that. That's called Avodah Zarah. Right. So I understand that we're going to be referencing it in a somewhat stranger fashion, but you'll see why the Gemara uses this kind of language. So the Shashor Chalehejo Chayiv, and interestingly enough, here's a Chumrah. The Chumrah is that if I shecht a carbon on behalf of another person, you're going to be Chayiv, meaning that's a violation of Shchut Echutz. Why should that be? So, I mean, when I say why, I mean, what pasuk speaks to that? So we're going to come back to that idea in just a moment. However, hamala lehejo pater, but if you're mala lehejo pater, so in other words, if you take the limbs of a carbon and put it on the mizbech and you say, I'm doing so for my good friend, and you offer it up for him, so then you're going to be pater. Now Rashi over here in the Mishnah writes, when we say we're going to be pater, let's be clear. You're going to be pater from the Isser of Hela B'chutz. Now, it's also Avodah Zarah, and Rashi notes that in the Mishnah. Rashi writes, mishum hela chutz v'chayv mishum over avodas kochavim. V'im hizib avodas kochavim v'shago b'hela m'chutz eno mei v'al shigaso chatas. So Rashi over here just simply highlights, when we say pater, we mean in the most technical sense. Meaning, by offering, and I say offering right now, I'm talking about the second Issa, the Hela B'chutz. By offering a carbon on the Mizbech outside the Azara, so you're in violation of Avodah Zarah. And if you're mazen the Avodah Zarah, so you're going to get the Issa of Skila for Avodah Zarah. But the point over here is that, and it's a real technicality, is that if you also happen to be a shogig on Hela B'chutz, and normally with that would come a carbon chatas, because this is an Issa Kares. So over here there's not going to be an Issa Kares, because again it's a ptur. It's a really technical exemption. And again, we're going to uncover later in the sugya. Chomer ba'aliyah. Now there's a chomer when it comes to aliyah b'chutz, which is shnayim shachzu b'sakim v'shachtu p'turim achzu be'ever v'helu chayavim. Two people hold onto the knife and shecht with a knife while holding onto the knife, so they're going to be pater from shechting. So now, this is an idea that we explore much more in terms of Shabbos than we do in terms of other areas of the Torah. Right? Shnayim Shasu. Right? By Shabbos, we say Shnayim Shasu Pater. But we're not talking about Shabbos right now. We're talking about the Isser of Shechita and Aleh B'chutz. And when it comes to the Isser of Shechita B'chutz, so if both people are holding on to the knife, they're going to be Pater. Again, why? So we have Psukim and we're going to Darshan.
Shechita is not kosher.
Shechita is not kosher. Why?
Either you, two people
cannot,
you're probably
a shir, or a chlod. Okay, so it could be, but in other words, I don't know if it creates an immediate psul, but over here the Mishnah is talking about from the standpoint of shchut echutz, just from the standpoint of hela b'chutz, right? In other words, from those two standpoints, so for shchut echutz you're going to be pater, and for hela b'chutz you're going to be chayiv. Again, it's a chumrah. So again, these are the two exceptions where it applies to one and not the other. They'd be chayiv. In other words, if they did a b'shogeg, if they did in a state of unawareness, they forgot that, you know, that the Torah forbids such a thing. So under those circumstances, you normally bring a carbon chatas.
But people
two people can shecht, meaning it's possible, it's feasible. But again, this is a strict technicality. And in other words, there's no, you know, I could try to reasonably argue why this should be. But in other words, from my perspective, from the Gemara's perspective, it's just a strict technicality. That there's an exemption, the Torah creates an exemption for... When it comes to shechita, the exemption is going to be for shnayim sha'asuf, two people did it. And for halab b'chutz, the exemption is going to be when you offer it for another person. Look, these are just simply, strictly exemptions. Hela chazav hela v'chazav hela. Let's say you take a limb of an animal. Now, I'm using the word limb over here, but I'm going to use it carefully because I know the Gemara is going to equivocate exactly what you put on. But right now, let's say nice and simple. You take a limb, you put it on the Mizbech outside of the Azara. You take another limb. And it's all the same animal. And you keep going limb after limb after limb. So, Chayv Akol Aliyah Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So, Rabbi Shimon says, okay, so that's one Isser, that's a second Isser, that's a third Isser. Now, keep in mind, if you're doing it b'mezid, so you got Kares, and I always quip. I don't know how many Kareses, you know, you can lump one on top of another. But we're not talking now, but let's talk about the person who's doing it b'shogeg. So, the person's doing it b'shogeg, so he takes a limb and he puts it on. And then he remembers, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then he forgets. And I know these cases are unusual. You know, I keep lapsing into halama. But the point is that each act is considered a significant act. And you're going to be chayv a karbon on every act that you do. You're chayv a karbon chatas. Rav Yossi Amar, enu chayv al achas. Rav Yossi says, no. These are all limbs of one animal. And so therefore, the isser is one isser. You happen to be putting up one limb at a time, but it's really just but one isser. What do you have to put it on? So according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, you have to put it on a Mizbeach. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, now Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can put it on a stone, and that would be enough in order to violate the Isra of Halab Echotz. Okay, much to discuss in our Mishnah. There really are three topics in our Mishnah. The first topic of our Mishnah was the Chomers that you have by Shechit and Halah. Second part of our Mishnah is repeat offender with taking limbs of an animal and putting it on the Mizbech outside the Azara. And the third part of the Mishnah is what qualifies as a Mizbech outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we, as we always do throughout the Gemara, we take the Mishnah one step at a time and we go in the order that the Mishnah presents it. So the first issue, Maishna Mala Lehejo Tapata Diksiv. So the Gemara says, so why is it? Why is it that if you're Mala Lehejo, again, that's the first issue in our Mishnah, the chumrah of offering it for a person.
Why
So you're going to be patur because the pasuk says Lashem. So the Gemara says, okay, but you go through the pasukim carefully and you're going to see. And I'm not going to read through the pasukim right now. I mean, we've done it before and it certainly wouldn't hurt to do it again, but I'm just going to quickly run through the Gemara. But you go through the pasukim and you're going to see, you also have the word Lashem by Shechita. V'shechita nami ksiv Lashem. So Shani Hasam Damar Kra Ish Ish. So the Gemara says, no, by Shechita you have the word Ish Ish, the double language of Ish Ish. And over here, how is it meant to be understood Ish Ish? Ish Sheshacha Le'ish. That's how Rashi says it. In other words, by Shechita you have this Chumrah that if one person shechs for another person on behalf of another person, so you're going to be Chayev. So Gabi Hala Namiksiv Ish Ish. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, but read the Psukim. You're going to see that it says Ish Ish by Allah as well. So the Gemara says, Mibayle L'shtayim Sha'ala Be'ever Chayav. Now the Ish Ish double language by Hala B'chutz is teaching me the Chumrah of Halah, which is if two people were to offer it on the Mizbeach, on an outside Mizbeach, so then the two of them are going to be Chayav. Hachi Hachinami, Mibayle L'shtayim Sha'achzu B'sakin, V'shachzu She'chayavin. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's what you're doing with the Ish Ish by Hala B'chutz, so you should do the same thing with the Ish Ish of Shchut Echutz as well. Come to teach me that if two people hold the knife, they're going to be Chayev. They're both going to be Chayev. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Hasam Dama Kra Hahu. So the Gemara says, no, it's different over there by Shechita because it says the words Hahu. And right now the Gemara thinks that the word Hahu is coming to teach me one but not two. So the Gemara says, Echa Velo Shnayim. So Yehachi Gabi Halah Nami Aksiv Hahu. The Gemara says, okay, but the same thing is true by Halah. It also says the word Hahu as, there as well. So the Gemara says, no. There, Mibayle Lema'ute Shogeg Ones Umuta. So the Gemara says, no. Over there, what it's coming to do is it's coming to exclude Shogeg Ones Umuta, meaning the word Ahu, and if you look in the Psukim, the context of the Psukim, the word Ahu is in reference to the Isser of Kares. So vis-a-vis the Isser of Kares, so the word Ahu is coming to tell me, when are you subject to Kares? That's only if you are in a good state of mind. Good over here, I don't mean like, right, thank you, that's much better. In a sound state of mind, right? You know exactly what you're doing, you know the Torah asks it, you know what you're doing is wrong. If you are not in a sound state of mind, so you're not going to be subject to kares. So the word hahu is coming to tell me, teach me that point. So the Gemara says, well, the same thing should be said about Shechita. Meaning that the only time that you're going to be chayv karis, the karis penalty will be incurred, is only when you are in a sound state of mind. So the Gemara says, Treya Huksiva. So I know we've been going a lot of back and forth on the ping-ponging, but the Gemara says, okay, ultimately when all said and done, so it says Ahu in the Parsha of Shechita twice. Treya Huksiva. So Ve'el Hashem Lamali. So if that's true now. So now we have the word Ahu mentioned twice by Shechita, which now comes to teach me the Chumrah by Shechita, which is that if I shech for a person, not for Hashem, if I shech for a person, not for Hashem, so a person is going to be chayav by Shechita. So ve'el al Hashem lamali, so then what's the Hashem doing? Meaning, what's the word Hashem doing in the parsha over there? Because when all said and done, so even if I don't shech l'Hashem, I'm going to be chayav by Shechut Echutz. So the Gemara says, "Lo si sira mishtaleach." It's there to exclude the sira mishtaleach. Meaning, vis-a-vis the sira mishtaleach, if a person were to shecht the siir hamishtaleach, so one would not be chayv. Now, I already mentioned to you that the parsha in the Torah of Shechut Echutz happens to follow immediately after the Avodas Yom Kippur, and a number of the Mefarshim and Chumash already point out that the placement in the Torah speaks to the idea that, hey, don't think you can offer anything outside, even though we just went over the parsha that included a seer mishtalech, which is being offered outside. But, as is clear in the Gemara, and as is, for truth of the matter, it's also clear in the Torah, seer mishtalech is not a karbon, meaning it's certainly a mitzvah, we can even label it something to do with avodah, but in other words, it's not karbon. It doesn't fall under the category of karbon. So what we're learning together now is that the Lahashem is coming to exclude Sira Mishlech. And by the way, if you think about it most in the most literal sense, it really works out nicely. Meaning because there are two goats that are offered on Yom Kippur. One is Lahashem and the other one is Lazazel. So in other words, the Gemara now excluding, what are we coming to exclude? When the Torah says the words Lahashem, the Sira Mishlech, the one's Lazazel. So why is it excluded? So Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Rashi's fourth line down. Lamali lahotzi sira mishalech, demashma avor likarv l'shem, chayav la b'chutz. V'sheinu omed l'shem, ein chayav la b'chutz. An idea which we're going to see a number of times in the course of today's daf, only something which is fit and qualified to be offered in the azara is one going to be liable for Shchut Echutz? I can't shecht the Seir Meshalech in the Azara, meaning that's not its purpose, that's not its goal, it's not a karban, so therefore one's not in violation if one were to shecht it outside. And Rashi over here points out, L'kam en beperk bas rodarish leitan de braisa, ahachi v'gali b'shchita v'hu adin lahala. Daham migmar gemirim mehadade. It's the point I made earlier, but Rashi over here spells it out. Truth of the matter is that vis-a-vis most of the halachas of Shchut Echutz and Halabachutz, the halachas are learned one from the other. Kedamar la'er of Parshios. Because we said earlier, this idea of Erev Parshios. But Rashi, of course, points out, Bar mehanach trei chumre, with notable exception of the two chumres that we just learned in our Mishnah. Demasis and demafarshi cry bekulo, ben lechiyuva, ben lepetura. Meaning what was generally a chiyuv for one is going to be a chiyuv for the other. What generally will be a petur for one will be a petur for the other, except for these two notable exceptions. One point before we continue in the Gemara. So we said that in order to incur the karis penalty, you have to be in a right state of mind. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're doing is aser, etc., etc. And if you're either a shogeg or an ones or a muta, so you're going to be pater. Okay, shogeg we know is that you forgot. You forgot that the Torah asers it, or you forgot where you are. In other words, there's some unawareness that occurred. And muta, somebody else misleads you. Okay. And ones, so ones, if ones is what we classically think ones is, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning, what is ones? Ones means is that you were compelled. It was circumstances that were beyond your control. In other words, then you shech, but it was under a state of compulsion.
But the Avodah Zarah is the one that you're supposed to give up your life for.
No? Yeah, but this is not Avodah Zarah. This is Shchut Echutz. It's a different Avodah in the Torah. So it's something that you were done under compulsion. Now, it's a little bit strange. Why? Because we know that Kol HaTorah Kula Ones Rechmana Patre. Meaning you have an overarching exemption for all the Averis in the Torah when we're talking about Ones. So if over here I need a Pasuk in the Torah here, I need a specific Drasha over here to tell me that if you're an Ones, well, you're not going to be Chayv Karis. Meaning that's a Kol HaTorah Kula concept. Now my question, Tosfos asked this question, Tosos attempts to give a suggestion in terms of why I need a special drasha over here for Ones. Okay, you'll forgive me. I'm not going to go through it right now, but it's the top Tosos on the Amud. Okay, Chomer Bahala. We have a Chomer as it relates to the Isser of Hela Bechutz, and that Isser is that if two people were to take the limb and throw it out, so they're going to be Chayiv. That's not true by Shechita. Two people hold on to a limb, throw it onto a mizbech that's outside of the azar. They're both going to be chayv. So look, when it comes to shechita, so we know that this is not true by shechita. When it comes to shechita, look, shechita we could say is more strict in that if a shech for a person, you're going to be chayv, like we learned in the first sugya. So shnayim shachtu b'sakim shachtu pater, and meanwhile two people holding a knife and shechting are going to be pater. Hamala lehezer shapater ain't no din she shnayim shachtu paterim. So if I left it now for a kav v'chomer, where now in the isra of hela b'chutz, if I offer for another person, so I'm going to be pater. If I shecht with two people, for sure should be pater. Meaning if we left it for a kav v'chomer argument, you'd say that you'd be pater. Tamalamar ish divir Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says that's the good. So we have a kavachomer, we have a drasha, and the drasha is going to override the kavachomer. And so good. So that's how, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's how we know that if two people take a limb and throw it onto a mizbech outside the azar, they're going to be chayav. Rabbi Yossi Omer hahu echa velo shnayim. So Rabbi Yossi says the pasuk says hahu one but not two. Im kemat tamalamar ish divir Torah kolashim bnei adam. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that no. That in order to be chayav on Hela B'chut, you have to be one person throwing the limb on the Mizbech, not two people. The Torah says ish ish. So Rav Yossi says, okay, the Torah says ish ish. Dibra Torah Kalashim B'nei Adam. When the Torah speaks to what was the spoken language back then? People who spoke in such a form.
Didn't we learn that ish ish means that a Zar can do Shechita? In the past? In other words, not just...
Again, you have to contextualize everything. Meaning you have to... You have to see this is by Shchut Echutz.
So have actually had darshan ish ish.
Right, and so that's good. So now what we're learning together is that not all Tanaim agree. Some Tanaim darshan, some Tanaim don't darshan it. Rav Yossi simply doesn't darshan it.
So isn't that in the Mishnah?
Right, correct. Right. This Shitas Rabbi Shema, Rabbi, I'm sorry, this Shitas Rabbi Yossi is not in the Mishnah.
Right.
Yes, agreed. And if we were arguing with Rav Meir, I just want to even reinforce your point. If he were arguing with Rav Meir, I'd understand it, because Tamish is Rav Meir. But he's arguing with Rabbi Shimon. Okay, I'm with you. Rabbi Shimon, hi, hahu, mi baile le muti shoge go nesamuta. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, the word hahu, so like we said just a moment ago, that is coming to exempt somebody who either shechted or offered in a state of shoge go nesamuta. Rabbi Yossi, mehu hahu. And Rabbi Yossi darshins it from the extra hay, meaning it's the Torah could have said, v'nichras hu, it says v'nichras hahu with the extra hay. So you have two abilities to make two different drashas. One drasha of to exclude one shoge gemuta, and another drasha to say that only one and not two people. Rabbi Shimon, hu ha'u lo darshan. Rabbi Shimon just doesn't agree to the ability to darshan two drashas because of an additional hay. Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, let me go on. Rabbi Yossi, mehai ish debetor kolasha mene adam, ha'u ish nami debetor kolasha mene adam. So the Gemara says now, according to Rabbi Yossi, where the ish is not halachically significant, there is no extra drasha to be darshan from the word ish. So if that's true by halabachutz, that's also true by shchutichutz. And remember, by shchutichutz, we had the drasha of ish, but according to Rav Yossi, there's no such drasha. Meaning, it says in the Torah, but it says in the Torah, that's it. Dibra Torah kalashim b'nei Adam. Ve'ela ha'shoch lehejo manale dechayev. How do we know that Rav Yossi is of the opinion that if I shecht on behalf of another person outside of the Azar, you're going to be chayev? How do we know that? It's very funny. The Gemara could have said, but obviously Gemara had a tradition otherwise. Gemara said he doesn't agree to that halacha. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says nafkalei midam yechashev laishahu dam shafach afilo ashoche leish. The pasuk says that on the iser of shchita dam yechashev laishahu, that person spilled blood, dam shafach, he's a blood spiller. So in other words, the act of spilling blood outside of the azara, that is all you need in order to incur the penalty or the iser of shchutichutz. So even if I shechted not la Hashem, so a person is going to be chayv. Rav Yossi has a drasha, even though his drasha is not coming from the words ishish. Okay, let's continue. We are on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. It's about a third of the way down on the Amud. Hela v'chazav v'hela. So now we're up to the second topic of our Mishnah and the repeat offender. So a person has an animal and he's offering it now limb by limb on an outside mizbeach. How many times is he going to be chayev on hela b'chutz? So that was machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says, I'll call aliyah. So for every aliyah that you get. Not exactly. So for every aliyah, for every part, every limb that you put onto the mizbech, you're going to be chayev. And again, I told you, as far as karis is concerned, it's kavur. Right? One karis is enough. We're talking about shogeg. And we're talking about how many carbon chatzuses one would need to bring. So every halah is significant, and Rav Yossi says, no, you're going to be chayv for the entirety. Now, I've been trying, as I explained the Mishnah, not to use words like limbs and animals, because all we know are just pieces versus a whole. What's a piece and what's a whole? Okay, so this is now a bit of a... It's not super complicated, but it's a little trying in terms of just keeping everyone in line. Hela v'chaz v'hela, I'm Reish Lakish. So we start off with the Shita of Reish Lakish. There are going to be four, but probably three Shitas in terms of what's a unit versus what is a chelek. So I'm Reish Lakish machlokes b'dal v'hei evarim. So the debate in the Mishnah is where a person were to take 4 to 5 limbs and throw them up one at a time of one animal. The starting point is the Torah is saying that you offered oso. Oso means it. But the Gemara's understanding of the word oso means it has to be an entirety of a unit. But that's great. But a unit, well, what is it? What? It has to be something complete. But once after that point in time, what does that something mean? So that's going to be the debate. So according to one opinion, when it says oso, it means an entire animal. And the other says no. In terms of the unit is a limb. So aval Eiver echad divrei hakol ein chayv alachas. However, according to Reish Lakish, let's say I had one. I started off with one limb, and I just broke it up and I segmented it into pieces. And of the pieces of the one limb, I offer one at a time. There's no machlokus in the Mishnah, no, nobody debates. Meaning there, you're only going to be chayiv one iser, and presumably, I'm adding this point, I don't know if I'm right about this, and presumably only when you offer the last part of that one limb. The only machlokus in the Mishnah says, Reish Lakish is only when you're dealing with four or five limbs, each limb being an entity, and so now, that's the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says that when the Torah says that you offer it, the oso, it's going on limbs. And therefore, you're going to be chayav in every limb. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, you're only going to be chayav one because the akol is going on the kol behema. That is Shitas Reish Lakish. Next, number two, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, machlokus bever echad, marzavar muktari penem shechazva ela bechutz chayav. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the debate is we're talking about with one limb. So, and I'm only bringing up not even the entire limb, but pieces of the limb. And according to Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to be chayav for every piece. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's correct. That's right. Mar Zavar Muktrei Pnim. Because consider, when you shecht this particular carbon inside the Azara. Now, Shechazer Vehela Bechutz Chayev. And then it was Chaser, meaning part of it went missing. So I don't even have the full limb. And I take it and I offer it outside, you're going to be chayav. Now, why should that be? Well, I'll get to why in just a moment. Umar Zavar Pater, and the other one says, no, you're going to be Pater. Meaning that the only time you're going to be chayav is if you offer an entire limb. But according to Rav Yochanan, if you are taking four to five limbs of one animal and you bring them out and you offer them outside on an outside mizbeach, you're going to be chayav for every piece according to both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. And this is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Now, okay, now I'll get to ask the question. I'll give an answer. Why, according to Rav Yochanan, at least there's an opinion, Rabbi Shimon, who says that even if I don't bring the entire limb, but just simply even a piece of a limb, you're going to be chayav. So Rashi over here invokes the idea that we saw earlier in the Masechta. In fact, we spent almost a parak talking about it. And that's the idea that once something goes on the Mizbeach, it now is significant. It's now part and parcel of the Mizbeach. We know that once you put a limb of the carbon on the Mizbeach, even if just a piece of the limb were to fly off the Mizbeach, you got to put it back up, or you got to put it back on again. So that means to say that according to Rav Yochanan's understanding, Rabbi Shimon, even if I had a whole limb, and even if part of it becomes chaser, since if I were in the Azara, I would have to bring this up onto the Mizbeach, therefore, if I'm outside and offering outside, I'd be in violation of Halabachutz. And Rabbi Yossi's counter argument would be no. I mean, meaning he may agree with the first part, but in other words, in terms of Hela B'chutz, the Torah very clearly states that it has to be an entire piece, meaning an entire limb. Upligi de'ula, and the Gemara now points out that we already saw the opinion of Reish Lakish, we already saw the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and this is going against the opinion of Ula, Damar Ula. And within the sheet of Ula, there is going to be two versions of what Ula said. So, like I said, it's a little bit complicated just in terms of keeping everyone shita straight. So here we go now with Ula version number one. Everyone's in agreement that if I shechted the carbon inside the Azara, and now it's chaser, part of the limb goes missing, but I still have some of the limb, and I offer it outside, everyone agrees according to Ula, everybody, meaning both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, you're going to be chayef. Lo nechlugu ela b'muktar b'chutz, shechazu ve'ela b'chutz, Mar Savar Pater, Mar Savar Chayev. The only debate is what happens when I shecht it outside. Now you remember back a couple of Mishnayos ago, we had a debate amongst the Tanaim whether altogether you're going to be Chayev if I shecht it outside. Machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rav Yosef Galili. But let's assume like the Tanakhama, let's assume that you're going to be Chayev. But now that I shecht it outside, and now I don't even have an entire limb, I just have part of a limb, according to Ula, version number one of Ula, that's the machlokus in our Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be chayav, and Rabbi Yossi says you're going to be pater. That's version number one of Ula. Version number two, Igida Ami Amar Ula Akol Modim Mukhtar Chusha Chasu Ve'Ela Bechutz Shu Pater. And version number two, with the starting point of agreement is that if I take a carbon and shecht it outside of the Azara, and I offer it, and before offering it, it becomes chaser, everybody agrees you're going to be pater. The machlokus is when I shecht it inside, and then it becomes chaser, and then I offer it outside, mar sever pater, mar sever chayiv. So one says you're going to be pater, and one says you're going to be chayiv. So that's version number two of Ula. And upligi davu d'shmuel. We're not done yet. And the upligi davu d'shmuel alisha kama de Ula. The father of Shmuel argues with the first version of Ula. How do I know that? Da'amar avu d'shmuel kaman mahadrinan. Poken lagabe mizbeach. When we take pieces of a limb in the azara that flew off the mizbeach and have the requirement to put it back on the mizbeach, who are we subscribing to? Kiman deloka Rabbi Yossi. It means that we are not subscribing to the opinion of Rav Yossi, because the opinion of Rav Yossi says that you don't need to put it back on. How do I know that Rav Yossi says you don't need to put it back on? So follow the logic ladder. Because Rav Yossi says that if I were to take that limb and offer it, and meaning this, it's not even a limb. It's just simply a piece of a limb. If I were to take it and offer it outside of the Azara, I would be Pater. So that means to say that it's a non-significant entity. So that means to say also that if I put it on the inner Mizbeach and it flies off, so I don't need to put it on. That is Avua Deshmuel's understanding of Shitas Rav Yossi. This obviously does not agree with Ula. Ula, version number one, said, HaKomodim, everyone agrees that if I take a limb and it becomes chaser in the Azara, of course I need to put it on the Mizbeach. And if it flies off the Mizbeach, of course I need to put it back on again, even though it's not an entire limb. And if I were to take that piece and offer it outside of the Azara, on a Mizbeach that's outside, everybody would agree that you'd be Chayav. So this, when we say everybody, we mean including Rav Yossi. So clearly over here, the understanding of Avu Deshmuel does not conform with the first version of Ula.
Isn't the fact that the guy is offering it is like action, but it's like making it significant?
In other areas in Halacha, that works. But here it doesn't work. In other words, the Torah gives very strict parameters in terms of when one's going to be chayiv.
So Avu Deshmuel holds altogether that a piece of meat on the Mizbeach inside the Azor falls off from the Mizbeach, you have no chiyuv to put it back, even though it's not turned off.
That's what it sounds like.
So which word?
Good question. It's a good question. I don't know. Einu chayiv ad shiyala. And now up to the third section of the Mishnah where we discussed, in order to violate hela b'chut, you have to offer it on something outside of the azara. When I say something, is it a mizbech or could it just simply be a stone? And on that, there's a debate. So einu chayiv ad shiyala. Am Rav Huna my time to Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says in our Mishnah that it has to be a... It has to be a mizbech. It's got to be a mizbech, right? Ve'enu chayv achil rosh mizbech. So, what is that based on? So, I'm Rav Huna my Talmud Rav Yossi dechsi ve'even Noach mizbech laHashem. Really interesting. The Gemara learns it out from the fact that Noach was outside of the area of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, we can all agree, right? We can all agree that this is significantly earlier historically than the actual Beis Hamikdash was built. Noach offered it up for sure before the second millennia, the end of the second millennia, right? Sometime between the year 1500 and 2000. You'll forgive me, I forget exactly when. And the base of Mikdash is not built until we left Mitzrayim in 3448. So, before the first base of Mikdash was built before the fourth millennia. Okay, so ballpark, it's about 2,000 years earlier. Okay, that's fine. But Rav Yossi says, but what do you see over here? What you see over here is that when Noach offered something on a Mizbeach, it was a Mizbeach. Meaning, the Torah says, Vayiven Noach Mizbeach LaHashem. And now, Am Rav Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon Dechsiv, Vayikach Menoach Ez Gedi Aizim Vesem in Chavayal Alatzur LaHashem. And meanwhile, the Gemara has another precedent, on behalf of Rabbi Shimon, that you can offer, not when I say can, meaning we're talking about the Isser of Hala B'chutz, you don't want to. But in other words, we're just talking about what the qualification is of that which you're putting it on. So according to Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, it doesn't have to be a Mizbeach, it could be just a stone. How do I know that? Because Manoach, I was going to say Eish is Manoach. Okay. Manoach. So when Manoach was given the news by the Malach that he was going to have a that he was going to have a son, so he was so happy, so he offered a carbon. Gidi izim, and the mincha, and he put it on the tzur, and he put it on the stone. Now over here, you could certainly wonder, meaning, well, how do you do that? Meaning, it's, in other words, there was a mishkan. Right, we're in Shoftim, we're in Sefer Shoftim. There was a mishkan. So how can he do that? But that, which is a legitimate question, but far from the point that we're making right now, which is a tzur, a stone, is all you need. Now, what is Rabbi Shimon going to do with Noach and his mizbeach? The Torah uses the word mizbeach over here, but mizbeach over there just simply meant an elevation. That's all the Torah meant. And as far as Rav Yossi, what is he going to do with the parsha with Manoach and his stone that he offered on top of his stone? That's not speaking to the parameters of what the halacha l'doros is. That was a one-time event that was already an exception, that was an exclusion. Even what he put it on was under the umbrella of an exception and exclusion. Or the Gemara gives another suggestion in terms of how, according to Rabbi Shimon, we know it doesn't have to be a mizbeach. So the Gemara gives another explanation, meaning one we had so far comes from the Manoach stone, Manoach's rock, and now the Gemara gives another source. Kiditani Rabbi Shimon Amar mizbeach Pesach Ol the ein mizbeach bebama. The mizbeach is Pesach Ol Moed, but as it relates to Obama, there's no need for a mizbeach. Lefichach, and therefore hela ala sela o ala even. Now, in the Bryce of the word, the next word we have is the word chayev. Now, chayev over here is a little bit ill-placed in this Bryce, because the whole point of the Bryce is that when you're setting up a bama, it doesn't have to be mizbeach. So the word chayev over here seems off, and the Gemara jumps on that point right away. Yotzami baile. What do you mean chayev? Meaning, the right word should be yotze. Hachi kamer. The Gemara says, in the version that we Bryce that we have, both points are being made. The Bryce just skipped a step. But Nagamar now spells out. Lefichach b'shas iser habamos. Yes, that's right. Meaning, by a bama, it doesn't have to be a mizbeach. It could be a stone. Like we saw by Manoach. It could be a stone. And because it could be a stone when there's a heter bamos, so now, once iser bamos kick in, hel ala sel ala evan chayev. So therefore, at a time when there's an iser bama, if I put it on a stone, you're going to be chayev. By Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Karen, Vekevish, Vyisod, Vrivua, Mao, Shiakvu, Bebama, according to the opinion that says that you need a Mizbeach, does it have to conform to all the rules that we learned earlier in the Masechta about Mizbeach? Does it need horns? Does it need a ramp? Does it need a foundation? Does it need to be square? Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, Tanya, Karen, Vekevish, Vrivua, Vyisod, Ma'akvim, Bebama, Gedola, Ve'ein, Ma'akvim, Bebama, Kitana. So, quotes of Brisa, by Bama Gedola, meaning in the central locations of Novin Givon. And I can also, that's what Rashi says. We can also add Gilgal as well. So there, when you're putting up the Mizbeach in those central locations, when there's Heter Bamos, meaning even at a time when there are Heter Bamos, there still is a central location. It's just not Shiloh, it's not Yerushalayim. So even when there's Heter Bamos, so the Bama Gedola, meaning Nov and Givon, so there it has to be squared. And all the other rules of the Mizbeach. But outside of that, there's no, it doesn't have to conform to the standard rules of what is a Mizbeach. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of that sugya. We start now today's daf, Kuf Tesem and Aleph, and the Mishnah begins, Echa Kadashim, Ksherim Ve'echa Kadashim Psulim, Shahaya Psulan B'kodesh V'ikrivan B'chutz Chayav. So the Mishnah over here now goes and tells us that whether the carbon was a carbon that's kosher, or whether there was a carbon that becomes pasul, as long as the psul occurs in the Azara, and then you offer them outside, you're going to be Chayav. We will learn together in the Gemara. Rashi already points it out in the Mishnah that even though it's a carbon that's pasul, but because the Mizbeach would have tolerated it, meaning we know the halacha is that kevan she'alu lo yardu. As long as the psul of a carbon occurs in the Azara, so should it go on the Mizbeach? The answer is no. But once it's on the Mizbeach envelops it, keeps it, holds on to it. Right? And so now that's true, if I took it outside and offered it outside, I'm going to be chayev on hala b'chutz. So echa kashim k'shem v'echa kashim p'sulim shayya p'sulim b'kodesh v'yikrivim b'chutz chayev. Ha'malak izayis min ha'ola min u'min ha'imurim b'chutz chayev. How much you have to put on in order to be chayev? So the Mishnah over here says the kizayis. And yes, I am certainly curious to know. In other words, in the previous sugya that we did, Yeah, right. In yesterday's daf, which we did all of 20 minutes ago. So we had a big machlokus amongst the Tanaim and amongst the Amoraim, whether it's an entire animal, whether it's an entire limb. And over here, our Mishnah now is reducing the shear to that of a kizayis. So, right, certainly the question is strongest against the shitas of Rish Lakish and according to Rav Yochanan, who say that at smallest, you need an entire limb. And over here, our Mishnah is talking about kizayis, and I'm going to be honest with you, the Gemara does not raise this question. I know the question is discussed subsequent to the Gemara, but in other words, the Gemara itself does not raise this question. Curious why the Gemara does not. Hamala kizayis mina ola umin ha'imurim b'chutz chai. So if I offer up a kizayis from a carbon ola together with its imurim, so you're going to be chayiv. In other words, the ola and the imurim are going to combine in order to get to that point of kizayis. Now, why are they going to combine? So Rashi says, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Because they're both earmarked to be burnt on the mizbeach. And so since they're both kalal on the mizbeach, so therefore the two can be mitzaref to create a sheer kizayis for hela b'chutz, for offering it outside. The Gemara is going to make this point very clear, but I'll say it now. For example, that's not true by shlamim, meaning if I took a half a kizayis of the meat of a shlamim and a half a kizayis of the imurim of the shlamim, that's not going to get you to your kizayis. Because in other words, in order to be chayv of hela b'chutz, it has to be something which I could have offered on the mizbech in the azara. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara starts with the Brisa. Asher yale ola ozevach ein liyale ola. Minayin l'rabos imuri asham v'imuri chatas v'imuri kachay kadashim v'imuri kachim kalim. So let's start off. The Torah says ola. I might have thought that the Isra of Halab HaChutz is only applicable to the carbon ola. How do I know that it also is going to include the imurim of all my kachay kadashim? That of a chatas, that of an asham, that of... the Gemara says the Imurim of Kachim Kalim. The Imurim of Kachim Kalim, Rashi over here says that we're talking about the Kifsei Atzeres. The reason why Rashi says that is because he wants to still keep it in the category of Kachim Kachim. So in other words, it's a funny question, but there is an answer. What Kachim Kalim are under the category of Kachim Kadashim? Kifsei Atzeres, because they're carbon seaboard. They're communal carbonos. So Tamud Lamar Zevach. So by the Torah adding the word zevach, it comes to tell me these as well. Minayin l'rabos hakametz v'alavon v'aktoros u'minchas kohanim u'minchas kohen mashiach v'amenaseich shlosha lugin yain shlosha lugin mayin tamalamar v'al pesach olamor lo yivayenu. Now, how do I know that it also includes anything else that's offered on a mizbeach in the azara? And I'm going to go over the list. Kometz is the portion of a mincha that's offered on the mizbeach. Levonam, off most every mincha, there's a layer of lavona that's put on. The layer is then taken off and thrown onto the mizbeach. Kitaris, that's the incense that's burned. Minchas kohanim, a mincha that's offered by a kohen where it's totally burnt on the mizbeach. Minchas kohen mashiach, the kohen gadol brings a mincha daily. Half of it is offered in the morning, half of it's offered in the afternoon. Hamenasech shlosha lugi yayin. The nisuch, the libation of 3 lugan of wine, which is the minimum amount that you need for nisuch. Shlosha lugan mayim, we're talking here on sukkahs. On sukkahs, there's a requirement to pour water on the mizbeach. And so this water now is something that's offered on the mizbeach. If I took and offered it outside of the mizbeach, one is going to be liable. Tamalomar ve'al pesach olamoed lo yivieno kol haba lepesach olamoed chayav alav v'chutz. So now that gives us the overarching rule that anything that is offered on the mizbech in the azara, and now if I took that and offered it outside, I'm going to be chayav for hela b'chutz. Ein li ela kadashim ksherim, minayin l'rabos psulim. Let's go even a step further, says the Braisa. So far, what do I have as a carbon that's kosher? What about a carbon that's pasul? So kigon halam be'yotzev atame. So here, let's say that it experienced lina. The blood wasn't sprinkled before sunset. The imurim weren't offered on the mizbeach before morning. Yotzei was taken outside of the walls of the azara. Tamei, it becomes tamei. Shenishcha chutz l'zman chutzim kamo. Our classic pickle scenarios where when the kohen shechs it, he shechs it with a machshava of either chutz l'zman or chutzim kamo. V'shikabu psulim, or let's say a non kohen accepted it. V'zarku es damo, or a non kohen sprinkled the blood. V'anitana lamata v'nishenasna lamala, v'anitana lamala shenasna lamata. You sprinkle the blood on the wrong area of the mizbeach. Vanitanim b'chutz shenasnam bifnim, vanitanim bifnim shenasnam b'chutz, or you swap the bloods of an inner chatas to an outer chatas, or vice versa. U'pesach v'chatas shenasnam shalolishman, or the Pesach and the chatas who I shechted, not for the sake of Pesach and chatas, which disqualifies a carbon. How do I know that in this long list that we just offered, if you were to take this and offer it outside, you'd be violating shchut echutz, or I should say better, hela b'chutz. Minayin tamar lomar lo yivienu la'asos, kol ha'miskaba b'pesach, kol ha'moed chayevim la b'chutz. The Torah says, lo yivienu la'asos. Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi, tamar lomar la'asos, mashma haru'uyin la'asos, afilu enu ra'yu lavo michutz lifnim. So the so as long as it is ra'oi, as long as it's fit, Rashi continues. So all these kabbalists that we just went through, even though they're all disqualified, well, once they go on the mizbech, they stay on the mizbech. And Rashi says, and I'll tell you something more. And once they go on the mizbech, you don't just simply say, okay, they made their way to the mizbech. No, once they're on the mizbech, you treat them like anything that's put onto the mizbech. The Kohen goes there with a fork, the Kohen flips it over, or you move them from the top of the Mizbech over to the pyre that's on the Mizbech. Ru'uyin le'asos karinam bay. Meaning, they are fit la'asos, meaning to do. And Rashi is giving all these examples because it's not that I made it to the top of the Mizbech, okay, just leave it. No, not just leave it. La'asos, what you have to do is you have to take care of it now, as if it was a carbon that goes on the Mizbech. And because it's a carbon now that was fit to put on the Mizbech,
but if they go out, aren't they
Gifkud? No, there's Mizbech and Mekadesh.
No, but you're taking them out. You're taking them from the Mizbech, you're taking them outside.
No. The Gemara's point is that because it's fit to go up, and when I say fit to go up, meaning you shouldn't have brought it up onto the Mizbech, but once it's up there, it's there. It's, in other words, that's it has a sense of belonging over there. And since that's true, so then if I would take this disqualified animal, it's not from the top of the Mizbech, meaning. But once I take these disqualified animals, which have a certain shaychus, it has a connection to the Mizbech, so therefore offering it outside, one is going to be liable for hela b'chutz. Okay, and finishing up, hama'ale kezayis mina ola, offering a kezayis of the carbon ola. So ola v'imureha in shlamin v'imurem lo. So I made this point in the Mishnah, but now the Gemara is going to say it very clearly. An ola and the imurim, an ola and its imurim, by the way, you beat me to the point. That's good. So when we say an ola and its imurim, meaning it's kind of funny that we're looking at an ola as if it had separate imurim. When it comes to carbon ola, the entire thing goes up onto the mizbeach. In other words, is there such an idea that an ola has imurim? Maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe you separate it.
Oh, but right.
Separate from what? From the meat.
Right. In other words, he's suggesting that maybe there's a requirement of separating the imurim. We do it by all other karbanos. Anyway, the point over here is, however, really simple. Because they're all going to go on to the mizbeach, so they're all subject to the possibility of hela b'chutz. However, when it comes to a shlamim and the imurim, that's not true. Because by shlamim, the meat is not going on the mizbeach. You can't be subject to the issur of hela b'chutz for something that wasn't supposed to go on to the mizbeach. Tanin la hadatan rabbanan. Here now the Braisa spells this out. Ola the imureha mitzarfin lechazayis la'alosan b'chutz. They can be mitzarif the carbon ola together with its imurim. Ola chayav alem mishum pickle nos v'tamei. And on top of that, you're going to be subject to pickle nos v'tamei. Now the Gemara says, let's take this step by step. Bishlam ala ola dekalo in shlamim lo. I certainly understand that when it comes to a carbon ola, an ola and its imurim, it's all going to go on the mizbech, and therefore it's all subject to the isra of hela b'chutz. And I also understand shlamim is not subject to hela b'chutz because it's not offered on the inner mizbech. I get all that. Here's the part I don't get. Ela pigol v'nosa v'tamei my taima. The Gemara says, but you're telling me that also pigol nosa and tamei, they're going to combine. So v'hatzana, the Gemara says, but I know otherwise. The Gemara over here quotes a Mishnah in Me'ilah. Kol ha-pigulim mitzarfin, v'chol ha-nosarin mitzarfin. Pigul combines. Nosar combines. And the Mishnah in Mila says kol. Now the word kol over there means every carbon. The imurim and the carbon are going to combine. So wait, just what just happened? Meaning when it came to the when it came to halabachutz, so we said that only an ola and its imurim combine, but not a shlamim and its imurim. And we understood that. It makes perfect sense. But we said the that when it comes to that's true by halabachutz, and it's also true by pickled nosar v'tamei. Meaning that by an ola they combine, but by shlamim they don't combine. But then we have the Mishnah Me'ilah, and the Mishnah Me'ilah could not be any clearer. That when it comes to pigol and nosar, so it always combines, right? Kol ha-pigulin mitstarfin. Kol ha-nosarin mitstarfin. So it always combines for pigol and always combines for nosar. So that goes against what we just learned together. Kasha pigol, pigol, kasha, nosar, nosar. So the Gemara says, it's not a kasha, we just simply have to be a little bit more aware of what we are describing. Pigol ha-pigol lo-kasha, kambe pigol, kambe machshavas pigol. And Rashi over here explains, and it's perfect. Meaning, when we talk about pigol, we make this point time and again, cannot understate it. There is the creation of pigol, and then there's the actual consumption of pigol. For the creation of pigol, what do I need? I need somebody who's doing the avoda, right? Let's call him a kohen, although for shkita it doesn't have to be a kohen. But I need somebody who's doing the avoda while doing one of the dal avoda says that I'm going to consume a piece of it. But when he says a piece, means a kazais of it, either chusus man or chusum kama. Now, we already learned earlier in the Masechta that the only way the person is going to have created pigol is only if the machshava is on a kezias. But it either has to be a kezias of something going on in the mizbeach, or a kezias that's going to be consumed by the consumer, right? If it's a chatos or an oshem or a shlamin. However, we also learned earlier in the Masechta, let's say this kohen had a really specific machshava, half a kezias of the part going on the Mizbeach, and a half a kezais is what this is machshava, and a half a kezais of the part of the meat that's going to be consumed is going to be chutzes mano. That doesn't combine. Meaning, as far as the machshava is concerned, a machshava has to be going on one kezais that's consumed by one consumer. A machshava on multiple consumers do not combine. We learned that earlier in the Masechta, and that's the same point over here. But now we talk about consumption of pigol. Meaning, once a carbon has been converted into a carbon mefugal, so now you eat that carbon, so now it's all going to be mitzarif. I eat a half kezias of this and a half kezias of that, and they're all going to combine. And remember, when you eat pigol, what's the iser, what's the penalty for eating pigol? Kares. Okay. Nosar nosar lokasha kan benosar kan b'shini tosru achelo nizrak adam. And as far as nosar is concerned, again, also over here, there's no stira. The Mishnah Me'ilah says that nosar always combines. That's talking about the consumption of nosar. If you were to eat nosar, nosar is any carbon left beyond its allotted time. Every carbon has an allotted time. You eat if it's left beyond that's allotted time, that's called nosar, right? That's the bad leftovers. And so for that, if you eat a kezias, and here kezias can mean even a combination, a little bit of this, and a little bit of this carbon, a little bit of that carbon, a little bit of this piece, a little bit of that piece, that's all going to combine in order to arrive at the point of Isser. And again, the consumption of Noser is also an Isser Kares. And then our discussion in terms of Noser not combining, that's not talking about the consumption of Noser, that's talking about the ability to sprinkle blood. Now, according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, which the Gemara is about to invoke in just a moment, Rabbi Yoshua taught us that in order to sprinkle the blood of any carbon, I need something to be offered. I need a kezias of basar. And here, if let's say, for example, it was a shlamim, half a kezias of meat and half a kezias of imurim, no good. In other words, I need a kezias of meat, meaning of one type, in order to do the sprinkling. That's what we mean when we say they don't combine. Nosar doesn't combine. We're not using nosar in the classic sense of eating nosar. We're talking about nosar in terms of, is there anything left over from the animal so that I could do zrika? Gemara spells this out. Umani, Rabbi Yoshua, Yidatani, Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Kol HaZvachim, Shepetor, Shnishtar, Be'em, Kezais, Basar. If I have any carbon where I have either a Kezais of Basar, or Kezais Chelev, or a Kezais of Chelev, right, the word here is or, meaning it's not and, it's or a Kezais of Chelev, Zarek, Es Adam. So then, now I'm entitled to sprinkle the blood. However, chatzi zayis baster, v'chatzi zayis chelev. If let's say I only have a half kazayis of meat left, in other words, something happened to the animal, we lost it, it becomes tamei, except for half a kazayis. And I have half a kazayis of meat and half a kazayis of chelev. So eino zorek es hadam. According to Rabbi Yoshua, you simply don't have enough in order to do zrikas hadam. That's what's meant when we're using the word nosar in this context, and that's when it does not combine. Let's finish up to the Mishnah.
But it's not a typical nosar.
Right. Correct. Agreed. Meaning this is not our classic use of the word nosar. But in other words, we have to address the stira between the Mishnah Me'ilah and our discussion over here. Okay. The Umincha.
That's according to Rabbi Yeshua that says he made bosar and dam.
Correct. They're right. The Gemara says it. This explanation only works if you're invoking the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. That's agreed. Umincha. We are on Kuf Testament Beis. Umincha afilu kula kayemes lo yizrok. Now, when it comes to a mincha, even if kula kayemes, even if the entire thing is still intact, so lo yizrok, you're not allowed to sprinkle blood. Now that makes no sense. What? When by a mincha there's no blood, what are we talking about? Mincha afilu kula kayemes lo yizrok. Mincha maya vidate. The Gemara's question is really simple. What are you talking about? Mincha blood? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's going on over here. Mincha, generally speaking, in its most specific sense, is referring to the flour offering. However, over here, it's not talking about the flour offering. What is it talking about? It's talking about Amra Papa Minchas Nesachim Habayim Ezevach. Refer most carbonates that are offered, so you have Nesachim that come along with it. Wine, oil, flour that comes along as an accessory to a carbon. So these Nesachim, let's say, according to Rabbi Yeshua, and again, we're still within the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Yeshua, in order to sprinkle blood, I need carbon. I need a kazayis of carbon. Either the chelev or the basar, but I need a kazayis of carbon. Let's say all is lost. I lost the entire animal. So there's a kohen sitting there with the bowl of blood in his hand, and he wants to do zrika. But the entire animal is gone. Oh, but wait, there's the nesachim. We still have the nesachim, right? Is that enough now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, to allow the kohen to sprinkle the blood? And the answer is no. No. And Rashi over here writes, beautifully, succinctly, because you know what nesachim are? It's accessory. But it's not basar. It's not meat. For Rabbi Yeshua, the only thing that would allow the sprinkling of the blood is only kazayis of basar. And the nesachim do not qualify.